America.
Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Wednesday, June 29, 2022. Relatives of armed officers slain in weekend attacks in South Sudan are unable to access the bodies of their loved ones.
So up now, no one got the bodies of the soldiers that had been killed. I'm now in Warap, Doinos County, where the fighting took place.
And Sudanese and South Sudanese authorities have agreed to activate a 2020 peace agreement easing restrictions of movement between the two countries.
We met with the Director General of the Police and we agreed to reactivate the MOU of 2020. From today, our people are allowed to travel with the document and they are not being asked for any foreign registration fee.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Relatives of armed officers killed in Warap State's North County during clashes between armed civilians and security forces last weekend say they have been unable to access the bodies of their loved ones. They say the bodies have been left to rot because armed civilians control the area. A South Sudan Red Cross official says its team is also facing challenges accessing the area. Manyang David Mayar has this report for VOA from Juba.
David Quick, a relative of one of the deceased army officers, says when he was told his uncle was killed in Toyin North County on Sunday, he rushed to Warap to receive the body.
So up to now, no one got the bodies of the soldiers that had been killed. I'm now in Warap, Toyin North County, where the fighting took place. And up to now, there are no forces that have gone back to go and check on the body. So it is like the civilians are the ones who are still in control of the place.
On Monday, authorities in Toyin North County told VOA that 25 people, including several top military officers, were killed and dozens of others wounded when personnel from various security agencies collided with armed civilians in Toyin North on Saturday and Sunday. Warap State Information Minister Ring Deng Ading said the fighting broke out after authorities in Toyin North dispatched security forces to recover a stolen cattle by suspected raiders from Walbet Payam. He said armed civilians ambushed the security forces and killed 18 soldiers. A source speaking to South Sudan in Focus on condition of anonymity for safety reasons says the armed civilians who control the area are preventing outsiders from accessing it. Quick says relatives of those killed in the fighting are distraught over not being able to bury their loved ones.
If the bodies are still lying on the street, that means already they might have damage. We are receiving a contradicting information. Some are saying that the bodies have been collected and buried in one place. And some sources are saying, no, they have not buried anybody up to now. That means the bodies already got spoiled. It is unimaginable. People are dramatized.
Marial Mayom, a spokesperson for the Red Cross in South Sudan, says the Red Cross team is trying to access the area to help retrieve the bodies and wounded.
There's still discussion going on, but accessibility remains a challenge. Accessibility to the area still remains a challenge.
Warap State Information Minister Ring Deng Ading says the armed civilians are only blocking soldiers in military uniforms from accessing the area. Deng says community members have likely buried the dead.
The bodies will not be still there until now because it is almost 5 days now. The community members are burying people. Unless the bodies that are hidden, those will be roasted.
The South Sudan Army has yet to provide the names of the military officers killed in the violence. Deputy Military Spokesperson Brigadier General Santo Domich has not answered repeated calls for comment. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayor in Juba.
South Sudan National Police say they arrested four suspects in connection with Sunday's clashes at the Mahad Internally Displaced Persons Camp near the Konyokonyo Market in the capital, Juba. Camp officials say fighting broke out between the Morle and Anyuak communities. Dengai Deng reports for VOA Fombor.
National Police Service spokesperson Major General Daniel Justin confirms four suspects were arrested in connection with the Sunday's clashes at the Mahat IDP camp in Konyokonyo Market that resulted in at least one death. Justin says it is not clear what provoked the fighting between members of the Murle and Anyuak communities.
We have arrested four people who are suspected of involvement in the killings. We are now holding them and they are being investigated as a police. We dispatch to the scenes to de-escalate the tensions. We try to evacuate one critical injured man who succumbed to his wounds before reaching the hospital.
The camp's chairperson, Mayan Kurkwe, says the clashes were instigated by intoxicated boys from one of the communities.
There was fighting between two communities at the camp. It started by some Murle boys who were under the influence of alcohol. We tried to de-escalate the tension, but the bubbling abuse asked. So they fought and it results in death. Six people were injured from the Anyuak and 11 from the Murle.
Queer says property was destroyed and some temporary houses in the camp were burnt down. Kennedy Gayen, a member of the Council of State and head of the Murle community in Juba, condemned the fighting and urged the IDPs to refrain from any further fighting.
All these people are my people and they are one community. The Anyuak and Murle are one people and there is no need for fighting, especially at this time of feast. So I would like to tell them, the Murle and Anyuak communities who are living in Konyokonyo, to stop violence and allow the authority to resolve the issue.
John Opio, the head of the Anyuak community in Juba, welcomes the arrest of the suspects and is urging police to thoroughly investigate the matter and hold the perpetrators accountable.
We as community leaders, we went to Inspector General of Police and talked to him about the fightings. We need this issue to be resolved as soon as possible. And the government should be careful because some of the people who are living in the camps are soldiers. So we need the soldiers out of the camps.
Police say the tensions in Juba that escalated into tribal fighting started in Pibor between the Murle and Anyuak communities and was fueled by some unnamed politicians. Authorities say investigations are underway and those responsible will be held to account. In recent years, clashes among civilians and gang violence triggered by minor disputes and sometimes the hard living conditions have occurred in various IDP camps across South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Deng Guiding in Bor.
South Sudan celebrated the International Day of Countering Hate Speech on Tuesday. Some South Sudanese say hate speech has been the main cause of conflict between tribes and communities across the country. They say South Sudanese use platforms, both online and offline, to instigate intercommunal violence between communities. Viola Elias has the details for VOA from Juba.
Some residents, civil society activists, and South Sudanese officials commemorated International Day of Countering Hate Speech with an event at the office of an anti-hate speech activist in Juba. At the event, Juan Marina Modi, head of Defy Hate Now, an organization monitoring hate speech across the country, says it is important for South Sudanese to be aware of hate speech wherever it exists. Modi says hate speech has contributed to intercommunal violence in several parts of the country. She says communities have created certain catchy words such as MTN or Nyam Nyam use, especially during the civil war, to target people in other community.
Before independence of South Sudan, some of these words may not have been like they may not have been any words of danger to another society, but then later on they came to be weaponized as words that tend to create a big divide between them and us. Yeah, so those words are the ones that have been you know, used over and over to kind of differentiate and discriminate people in the different aspects of the society.
Juba resident Samuel Lupai, who heads the local organization I Am Peace, says hate speech affects most South Sudanese one way or another. Lupai says sometimes people use words unintentionally, but they end up hurting other communities. He says cultural tradition is one of the factors which contributes to hate speech, noting that some cultures prevents communities from associating with others.
Nowadays, we have cultures that teach their children who to and not to associate with, you know, where to and not to marry. And I think that is the whole cultural issue, structural issue, what people talk about in those small settings. There's no openness of life. Why should we be able to interact with that?
Juba resident Garang Deng, who works for Salam Fibed, an Arabic phrase that means peace at home, says he often hears hate speech in and around residential areas. Deng says hate speech has triggered revenge attacks between communities.
You'd find that someone would say you do not have to go with X or Y because culturally or being identified from this tribe, they have killed our people previously in this country. Maybe there's a cattle raiding and this community raided your cattle, they killed your uncle or your people living in towns or in different villages. They will take it upon themselves like to hate those people coming from this place that not to interact with them.
French ambassador to South Sudan, Mark Troye, says everyone is a potential victim of hate speech, both offline and online. Troye says hate speech can lead to violent crimes in South Sudan.
Hate speech can be also leading to misleading information. And I remember when COVID-19 situation came out here in South Sudan in 2020, there have been a lot of false rumors on the internet, on social media, about what was needed to be done to combating COVID. So freedom of speech is a cornerstone of all democracy, all society which are regulated by the rule of law. So we have to remind ourselves also that critics are not hate speech.
Modi says her office has created many programs that train journalists and social media users on ways to counter online hate speech. She says while it would be difficult to eliminate hate speech altogether, efforts should continue to combat it. The United Nations says hate speech is on the rise around the world, with the potential to incite violence, undermine social cohesion and tolerance, and cause psychological, emotional, and physical harm to those affected. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says hatred is a danger to everyone, and so fighting it must be a job for everyone. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, we look at a report examining the state of religious freedom in South Sudan. Stay tuned for that report right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you could be famous, what would you like to be famous for?
I don't know if I want to be famous for anything in particular, but I think being famous in a way that is beneficial to other people, say be famous for having like a really solid foundation that in turn inspires other people to also give back.
I would like to be famous for inventing new things, coming up with new and innovative ideas.
I'd wish to be a vibrant politician in my country, and I wish to be known for being a very good politician.
I would love to be famous in the sector of acting, like as an actor. I'd love to be an inspiration to others. Yeah, I like to inspire people.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The South Sudan government has dismissed a recent U.S. State Department report documenting the status of religious affairs in countries around the world and which found that South Sudan lacks a rule of law that impacts negatively on freedom of religion. A South Sudan official says the report's authors are trying to tarnish the country's image. Waki Simon Wudu has more for VOA from Juba.
The report written by the U.S. Department of State and presented to Congress each year describes the status of religious freedom in every country. The report covers government policies violating religious beliefs and practices of groups, religious denominations, and individuals, including those in South Sudan. In one example, from June 2021, the report said South Sudan's army detained five people during a church service in central Equatorial State's Lanya County and later killed them while in custody. In August, the report said unidentified gunmen killed three people, including two nuns, during an ambush on the Juba Nimule Road, which connects the capital to Uganda. Neither government forces nor opposition militias claimed responsibility for the deaths, with both blaming each other for the attack. South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makwe claims the report is doctored.
South Sudan is the only place where there is no any oppression. There is complete freedom of worship and freedom of everything. We have separated religion from the state. And as such, everybody has the right of worship wherever he wants at any time.
The report highlighted several other incidents in South Sudan, including one in April 2021, in which unidentified gunmen broke into the home of the Italian-born Roman Catholic bishop, designate of Rumbek, shot him in both legs and fled. The bishop was subsequently transferred to Nairobi, Kenya, for medical treatment. On November 2nd, the report said military intelligence officials in Yei Samonte, former Presbyterian Bishop of Yei, Jackson Yemba Antipas, after security forces in Yei released him from their custody in October. The officials ordered Bishop Yemba not to leave Yei and ordered him to remove a social media post complaining of arbitrary detention. Civil society representatives said Yemba was later forced to resign. Military intelligence officials arrested the bishop and three others in August for their alleged participation in the People's Coalition for Civil Action, which was calling for protest on August 30th. Makwe insists some of the attacks were made by individuals, not government officials.
The Catholic bishop who was shot by an individual. How is it now attributed to the government? It was not a government soldier, and nevertheless, it is attributed to the government, and as such, it is interpreted that the government, there is no freedom of religion. You see, freedom of worship and so forth. All these are issues that are usually created.
The report states that U.S. embassy officials have raised concerns with South Sudanese government representatives regarding a lack of rule of law, increasing subnational conflict, impunity for violent crimes, and reports of human rights abuses and their impact on religious workers. Makwe argues all South Sudanese are free to practice their religion in the country.
We have no religious problems. There is absolute, complete religious tolerance, and people and religions are living together and coexist in harmony. Now they want to create a wedge between the religions, something which is not there.
The report recognizes that religious leaders have good access to South Sudan government officials and that their relationship with authorities remains broadly positive. It is said both Christian and Islamic prayers were offered at most official events, with the government often providing translation from English to Arabic. The 2020 Pew Templeton Global Religious Futures Project report estimates that Christians make up 60.5% of the population in South Sudan. Followers of indigenous animist religious make up 32.9%, and 6.2% of the population is Muslim. Other religious groups with small populations include the Baha'i Faith, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Judaism. The country's massive population displacement resulting from years of conflict, as well as a large population of pastoralists who regularly migrate within and between countries, make it difficult to accurately estimate the country's overall population and its religious demography. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Sudanese and South Sudanese authorities have agreed to lift some travel restrictions per a 2020 Memorandum of Understanding both countries signed. A South Sudan embassy official in Khartoum says South Sudanese traveling to Sudan won't be required to register as foreign nationals so long as they carry an official travel document. The same goes for Sudanese nationals traveling to South Sudan. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Khartoum.
Sudanese migration authorities reactivated the MOU with South Sudan's embassy in Khartoum to exempt South Sudanese from paying a foreign registration fee and allowing them to travel to Sudan after they obtain a visa from its embassy in Juba. Sudanese will also be exempted from foreign registration fees in Juba. The director for migration at the South Sudan's embassy in Khartoum, Garkoth Gai, says South Sudanese who do not have valid passports are allowed to use temporary documents issued by the South Sudan's embassy in Khartoum to travel back home.
We met with the Director General of the police and we agreed to reactivate the MOU of 2020. From today, our people are allowed to travel with the document and they are not being asked for any foreign registration fee. Day and night, I go to the airport so that if there is anything, I intervene immediately.
2 weeks ago, Sudanese authorities prevented nearly 30 South Sudanese nationals at Khartoum International Airport from traveling with a temporary travel document, demanding they pay a registration fee before leaving the country. Guy says, likewise, all Sudanese nationals traveling to South Sudan will not be required to pay a fee or be registered as foreign nationals in South Sudan. He says South Sudanese who need a temporary travel document will be required to meet a certain criteria determined by authorities at the embassy, as well as pay 3,500 Sudanese pounds or about $7.
There are those who lost their passports, or their passports are expired, or those who don't have a passport at all and are eligible for the travel document. There are children who were born here in Sudan and have been issued a Sudan birth certificate. These are another group who can be granted the travel document.
Eastern Equatoria State resident Amuny Evening Ito says she traveled to Khartoum 3 months ago for a medical attention and now she wants to return home with her newborn. Evening spoke to South Sudan in Focus at the country's consulate office in Khartoum as she was processing a travel document for her 2-week-old baby.
It was hard for me staying here. Here is too hot. I'm not used to this heat and there's no power all the time. So I was so panicked and I'm so happy that I've resumed back the process. And today I want to go back. Happy. I'm feeling very, very excited because I'm going back.
South Sudanese citizen Pasquale Aduag Deng says he traveled by road to Khartoum from Malakal town of Upper Nile State with his sick wife. Deng says he and his wife want to travel to Juba to make their way back to Malakal.
I came here from Malakal accompanying my wife to see a doctor. And I decided to go back through Juba, but I don't have a passport. I am grateful to our embassy in Sudan for giving me a chance to travel with a travel document, because this will ease travel to our country for many of us.
Both Sudan and South Sudan still charge a fee for visas. The MOU is part of a cooperation agreement signed by the two countries in September 2012. It includes the right to own property, trade, and free movement between the two countries. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Record-breaking drought in Ethiopia has caused child malnutrition rates to soar in the northern Afar region, where the only referral hospital says babies are dying within hours of arrival. Ethiopia's war with Tigrayan forces has left less than 10% of the region's clinics functioning and hospitals struggling to cope. Halima Osmani reports for VOA from Kampala, Uganda.
Doctors at the only referral hospital in Ethiopia's Afar region say they have admitted 369 severely malnourished children in just the past 3 months. With only two pediatricians serving an area of more than 1 million people, Dupti General Hospital is overwhelmed with weak children and desperate mothers. Aina Kadri's one-year-old son has been on therapeutic feeding for 2 weeks. She says, when we came here, he wasn't eating food or drinking water. We were afraid he would die. The worst drought in the Horn of Africa in 4 decades has left millions of Ethiopians facing hunger and malnutrition. The UN says Afar's rate of admitted malnourished children jumped by 30% in March and then another 28% in April. The acting head of Dufti General Hospital, Dr. Muhammad Yusuf, says they've gone from admitting 5 children per month to 5 per day.
They come after the patient deteriorated. So most of the patients die in our setup after the arrival within 2 to 3 hours because they're already complicated. Since malnutrition is not the only the problem, it's accompanied with other complications like pneumonia, anemia, diarrhea.
Ethiopian authorities said the war with Tigrayan forces left Afar's clinics looted, destroyed, and less than 10% functioning. That's forced even more people to seek care at hospitals like Dufti's, where patients spill into the hallways and porches, many of them children. Amina Adam Ibrahim has been here for over 2 weeks with her sick baby. She says he's coughing, he has a high fever, and he cannot eat food. She says we do not know what's wrong with him. Michelle Saad is head of the UN's humanitarian office in Ethiopia. He says there is a struggle to meet healthcare needs.
There is a need to either rehabilitate other health centers somewhere else within Afar or to create new ones, even if momentarily. But so this is also something that we're trying to work on. I can tell you, unfortunately, it's not as fast as we would like to, but it's definitely on the radar and we are following up on this.
Meanwhile, Dr. Yusuf says some staff have given up and abandoned the hospital, making it even harder for remaining health workers to cope. Halima Athmani for VA News, Samira, Ethiopia.
And that's all we have for you this Wednesday. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, cars, and on your phones. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
run. One man first, no have no place. Big one, me a fi dip and run. No matter one. Me show you the fear in life in me land. Me show you the feel of a man, not a fan. Someone please come give me a helping hand. Me show you.